Psalm 96. Can we stand up and just pick that as a text? Can we stand up with our Bibles and open Psalm number 96? Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kingdoms of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Verse 9 is my emphasis. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. About 3 months or so ago, I was just meditating on something else entirely. And in the usual way God talks to me, suddenly I heard very loud and clear. He said it and repeated it. The beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. And whenever God hears such things, it's either of two things. God is pointing my attention to somewhere, something, or he's giving me a message to preach, to exhort the church. But I could not understand. I tried to meditate. You can imagine something that's been in my heart for long. I even told my wife. Shortly after, I told Pastor Thomas. I said, see what I heard. There's a message the Lord wants me to preach. The title is The Beauty of Holiness. I searched the scriptures and I saw the places, and so many places mentioning the beauty of holiness. Worshipping God in the beauty of holiness. And today, we're looking at that topic, the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. There's a particular flower that everybody loves. Everybody likes to look at that flower. But what attracts the people to that flower is not just the outward appearance of the beauty, the rose flower. But what makes that flower beautiful is also the fragrance of that rose flower. And the rose flower, that you know, the rose flower, the fragrance you see from the rose flower, that comes out. If you just pick the rose flower, you will not smell the scent, the fragrance, until you squeeze it. When you squeeze that flower, there is an aroma, there is a fragrance that comes out. That is what attracts people. That is what attracts insects that come to feed on it. It is the fragrance. Praise the Lord. We have also, so when you talk about the beauty of rose flower, you are not just looking at the sight, you are looking at what it also produces. The combination of it gives her beauty. We also have the lily of the valley. We have had the lily of the valley. Praise God. Hallelujah. The lily of the valley. And Christ is described as the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. Always know that the rose of Sharon, there is a substance it produces, it has a healing substance in it. The rose, that rose, it has a healing substance in it. And also, the lily of the valley, the special thing about it is that it's a flower that is very beautiful to look at. But where that plant grows, and the beauty shows outside, underneath it is a muddy place. That's why it is in the valley. The valley there is made up of mud, because that's where the water, all the nyamanyama, they all roll down and gather there. And you will expect where you cannot walk there because of potopoto and things like that. But right there, something good comes out of it. And that valley is a type of the whole world. That as dirty, as sinful, abominable as the whole world is, as dark as the whole world is, that there are still some things that grow out of that depth and show forth a beauty outside. They are the Christians. They are the Christians. Hallelujah. That is the beauty of the lily of the valley. What gives it her beauty is the environment with which it is produced. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the beauty of a Christian is in her distinctive character. Our distinctive character. That is what gives us our identity. And our identity is identity of holiness. It's a combination. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Of both outward appearance and inward appearance. The two must come together. The beauty of holiness. Praise the Lord. You are a holy brother. Not only from outward appearance, but also from inward appearance. Why do we say it gives us a distinctive character? Character of distinction that separates you, that makes you look different. The Bible spells it out. Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5, he calls them the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. Those, he said, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit lusted after the flesh. The two of them, you cannot combine them. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the midst of all carnality all around us, you still see people exhibiting and displaying the fruits of the Spirit, living a life of godliness. That is the beauty in it all. It distinguishes you from the world. That is the beauty of holiness. It makes you stand out. Holiness makes you stand out. In the midst of the confusion that is on, there is a people that refuse to go the way of the world. It makes you to stand out clearly. The product of holiness. The beauty of holiness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because in 1 Peter chapter 3, let's read it. Now concerning the married women, this is the way Apostle Peter put it, using that to explain what I believe the Holy Ghost was ministering to me. Chapter 3, he spoke about women, Christian women. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, by the lifestyle of the wives, who are even married to non-believers. If there is a Christian woman, you are married to an unbeliever who has refused to follow Christ. This is what Apostle Peter is telling you. While they, said by the lifestyle you live, while they, the unbelieving husbands, behold your chest Holy conversation coupled with fear. Now, who's adorning? Now, the identity of the believer, the identity of the believing woman, Christian woman, your appearance. Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair. Let your identity not be known. Your beauty, let it not be known by the type of hairstyle you make, of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. Let it not be known, oh, that sister that wears a particular type of dress, that sister that ties her head gear in a special way like a satellite on top of her head. This is how you should appear, verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart inwardly now, in that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek, so your ornament here is your jewelry. Your jewelry that beautifies you. Let it be the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Let it be your identity, which is in the sight of God of great price. When God can succeed in getting a woman to be so much in subjection until she is having a meek and a quiet spirit, not a riotous spirit. He said when a woman puts on that type of character, he said before God, it is of great price. It's precious before God. Like the jewelry they put on. You can see it and say, oh, this one costs so much. This one is diamond. This one. What God is looking at us believers, that he puts a price tag to, is the character we display. That is the price. He said, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves. All the women that trusted in God, that was their identity. There is nowhere mentioned about the type of dresses they wear. It was always their character. It was always their character that was so much of great price until God caused them to be written in the book. Some of them are the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. It's character. Nowhere was it written that they had a certain design of cloth. But the behaviors that they behaved. Even as Sarah. Amen. Verse 5 again. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you sisters, whose daughters are you? And you are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid of any amazement. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Always remember that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. The Bible says so. What is holiness? What is the meaning of holiness? Another word for holiness is a sanctified life. Holiness, another word for it is sanctification. One that has been cleansed and set apart by the Master. That's the meaning of sanctification. Cleansed and set apart. You are not only cleansed, but you are set apart. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And that is achieved through two things. One, we know we are sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, all our sins are remitted. We are all the condemnation that was on us from the Garden of Eden, all the curses, all everything that will separate us from God. You enter that water and come out, identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through that blood, we receive cleansing. Cleansing. God Himself came down to a people on earth to make them holy For he is a holy God. He's a holy God. Angels are before him. We see in the book of Revelation. 24 hours of the day. All they are saying is what? Holy, 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 holy. Unto the Lord God. Who is? And who is to come? Holy, 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 holy. The God we serve, he is holy. I don't know how I can say this more than what I'm saying. The God we serve, he is holy. When you say someone is holy, that is, you will stand and you can accuse him of nothing. Tell me one thing you can accuse God of. Tell me one thing. Tell me one thing you can accuse God of. You will say, why did you close your eyes to see my mother born me in my womb, in her womb, deformed? And you say, life come from me. You want to accuse him about that? He will tell you, I am not the one. You got separated from me from the Garden of Eden. Satan has taken control. He's the one doing it. Did I not make you perfect? Don't blame me. Blame your mama Eve. Now you curse her. You can't accuse God. Tell me, remind me again. What can you accuse God? Why did he make me poor? Before you say God made you poor, you have to tell me what you have been doing to become rich. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why did you born me in a poor family? Amen. Whatever ask you will ask God, he will free himself. He will free himself. Man, we are the architect of our estate here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's holy. He is holy. The God we serve, I'm stressing it. He is a holy God. Holiness belongs to him. If you know that, then you will understand why the Bible says, without holiness, no man will see him. I'm coming to that. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So one, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And secondly, we are sanctified through the word. Now let me tell you. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our past sins. Amen. Praise God. But the word of God. Now, when you are born again, you are still here in this house, this human body, and you'll be walking along the pathway of life, and there will be trials, and there will be temptations, and you will be through wrong influences, through temptations, trials. We will pick all manner of influences that we shouldn't as believers. When a little child is born, and every human being too, we know that we don't bath only once since they gave birth to you. Is it only once? Every day, some even bath 2-3 times. Some sisters, they bath 3 times. Some brothers, they bath once. Some, that is once in a day. Some bath once in 2 days. Especially brothers. Amen. But whatever, whether it is once, or it is twice, or it is 3 times. Amen. The frequency of your bath is dependent upon the amount of dirt in your body. A man that sweats too much certainly will increase the frequency of his bath. If not, you will, Oyibo people, they don't bathe like we bathe here because they don't sweat like us. During winter, the whole place, nobody sweats. So you don't expect you to enter water and the bath unnecessary. So there's something they do. Just they clean and then perfume and they are gone. Now, but we bathe every day. Our spiritual life also, the spiritual man, must also bathe. And what does God use to bathe us? It's His word. That is sanctification. That's why I said we have three works of grace. Justification. The next one after justification is what? It's sanctification. It's baptism of the Holy Ghost. After justification, the next stage we go into is baptism of the Holy Ghost. That brings you into the family for God to deal with you now as His child. Then after that, the process of sanctification, justification is one-time action. Wow. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is one-time action. Wow. But sanctification is until we go home. It's every day. That's why the Bible is referred to as the mirror of God's word. You want to know the estate that you are in spiritually? Look at the Bible. Look at the Bible. It will tell you where you are, how clean or dirty you are. Praise the Lord. So that you'll understand why Jesus Christ made this statement in John chapter 3 and verse 5. Except a man be born of the Spirit and of water, he said he can never enter into the kingdom of God. You can't enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 3 of that statement, he started by saying, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I've explained this before. Then he came to verse 5. Then he said, except a man be born of the Spirit and of water, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now there is seeing the kingdom of God and there is entering into the kingdom of God. For you hearing me for the first time, this Bible, I was telling you, the reason why we do Bible reading is to make you understand how to read the Bible. When this came to my attention, I read, it said, I saw, except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he added, except you are born, not just that you are born again, but except you are born of the Spirit and of the water, you cannot enter. So there are two stages. Amen. To see is to understand. And then I got to know that, yes, understanding is one step towards entering. And don't stop at understanding. Until we have people that understand so much about the kingdom of God, they can preach it, they can teach it. But it is one thing to see it, see is to understand. It's another to enter and be part of it. Except you are born of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and of water, the water of the word, cleansing you through the process of sanctification that makes you holy, you can never enter the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible is saying. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 5:26. It says we are washed by the water of the word, that he might present us unto himself a glorious church, not having wrinkles, spots or wrinkles. That, can we read it? Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 26. That he might sanctify. That is why he gave himself to the church. That he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish through the water, washing of the water by the word. Then you can understand John 15, Verse 3. Jesus Christ was telling his disciples, now ye are clean. You, my disciples. He said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now you are clean through the word. What is it that kept them clean? What is it? Shout it very well. Oh, say it very well. It's the word. You know why I'm stressing this? The word. Satan has tactically, you know, misdirected us onto the pathway, away from the pathway of salvation. Go to the mountain today. See hundreds of people on the mountain praying, fasting, dry fasting. What are you doing there? Amen. Praise the Lord. Some people think that you get closer to God when you pray very well. When you can wake up in the morning and pray for 5 hours. Yes, I've charged myself. And I'm going. And then you think that you are better than the one that pray for only 1 hour. And you're looking down on the person. Oh, that you have a gift. Some people go seeking for gift and they go to the mountain and try fasting. Lord, anointing. But hardly will you see anybody that will pack his books and his Bibles and go to the mountain to study. And because you don't know what to do, you may be in that mountain for 1 month doing 21 or 40 days dry fasting and yet far from God. I'm saying something. What is it that cleansed you? Was it fasting? No. What was it that cleansed you, George? The word. It is the word. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And when I say the word, amen. People pick the one that suits them. People pick the one that suits them. See, when I gave my life to Christ, I'm telling you, I'm a very practical person. You know, when I see myself struggling with any work of the flesh, and I see myself, I see woman, I know it is wrong to fornicate. Then I begin to have a feeling towards a woman. I am sensitive enough to know that something is wrong. I have never, I'm telling you now, nobody taught me, nobody knew, it's just me. I never went fasting so that I will not fornicate. What I will do is, something is wrong with me. I will go to a bookshop, begin to look for any book that they wrote concerning fornication, adultery. Make I see where I go get to. Sometimes we go a place, the shop person, please, is there any book here on holy living, on sanctification, on anything that speaks against fornication? I want to know. Once it strikes me, wow, that God hates it, and I saw through that study what will happen to those who are fornicators, I receive instant deliverance. Yeah. I receive my deliverance. I say something. Why do they say before you buy anything you start to use it? He say read the manual. People are not sincere with themselves and they say they want to go to heaven. Insincere people will never go to heaven because your lack of sincerity will not position you for God to deal with your nature. When a man is deceiving himself, God will be looking at you too and be following you like that. But when you are sincere, God will help you. We are washed with the water of the word. So, what you have to look is, identify which area is your weakness. And see what is the word of God concerning that area. Apply it. And you receive cleansing. But when you justify it, it is grace. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. As they say grace, 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 grace. Small time you go add disgrace. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He told them in that John 15 verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Amen. But while he was saying that, I want you to take notes. He was talking to 12 people. He had a church membership of 12 ministers. In his church, there were 12 ministers. And he was telling all of them, now you are all cleansed, and Judas too. He said, amen, we are all clean. Judas, full Christianity. Amen. Judas is not sincere. He's not sincere. Amen. Judas is not sincere. He knew that he was a thief. That's why. And Jesus also knew who he was. That's why he said, the mystery of salvation is too much. It's too deep. That's why I warned you. I have warned everyone that claims to be a Christian. The way you walk with God. I say, God, the Bible says, he, God, chastening whom he loves. He scourges whom he loves. But you, here you are. You are a pastor. You are a GO. You are very anointed, a prophet. A mighty evangelist that has turned the whole country upside down. And secretly there, you are living a filthy lifestyle. And instead of the anointing, the one that gave you the anointing that you are displeasing God, to withdraw the anointing, instead, in that instead, the anointing is increasing. And you cannot stop. Does it mean that God is endorsing sin? If not, why is he not withdrawing the anointing? It's your own, they increase. It's a mystery. That is what makes me to fear him. Judas was a thief. And Jesus knew that he was stealing. But he included him when he sent the 70 disciples out. Judas also came. Hey, master, come and see us. People were tumbling at your name. In Luke chapter 10. It happened. All that Jesus, instead of looking at him and saying, and rebuking him, said, you the thief. What did Jesus say to him? He looked at Judas and said, hey, I beheld Satan fall down from heaven. I told you, anytime I read that portion, I say, why will he make that statement? It's because he saw somebody that had opportunity to be saved. And he's messing up right before eternal life. That was the position of Satan. Satan too was anointed like all of you. That's what Jesus was saying. But despite all his anointing, he fell down yakata. That's why he said, I beheld Satan. So don't rejoice because of anointing. He said, rather, why should you rejoice? Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What is the testimony of a Christian? Your testimony is not that when I pray, HIV disappeared as a pastor. My testimony, what gives me joy, is blessed and sure that Jesus is mine. I am sure my name is written in the book of life. That is the testimony of a believer. My name is written in the book of life. How do I know? Praise God. Hallelujah. How do I know? I know it because I have a relationship with the Father. Anytime I misbehave, he deals with me. That is number one reason I know my name is written in the book of life. That's number one reason. Will you deal with another person's child that is misbehaving? Eh? You can just look and say, hey, see this useless person. You have no right. If you try it, he will abuse you. But when it comes to your son, you will remove your shirt. This boy went to disgrace me. I will not allow you. Me and you. Eh? Because love constrains you to do that. That is evidence that is your son. That is the evidence I know my name is written in heaven. Anytime I do anything, he doesn't waste time. I don't need a father, forgive me. I'll not do it again. Lie here, I'll not do it again. Forgive me. And when he sees me, I repent genuinely. He said, last warning. Oh, now, I'm not trying to tell a sinner that nothing has happened to you. You have been living with your boyfriend all this while. Even vision, you didn't get. To know that you are doing something bad. You have not married a man. You are living and sleeping with him. And yet you are coming to church, taking communion service, singing and falling under anointing. Not one time did you receive revelation that what you are doing is bad. I'm not condemning you. The other reason is because God, there are various ways God talks to people. Before his judgment comes, he will send warning. To some people, he gives warning. And the warning may not come to you directly. It can be coming through my message now to you. The day he will say, I don't give you enough chance to see say what you are doing is bad. You know what changed? Now that day when you step in, you go cry for 2 years. He never answer you. So let the sinner go and repent. And stop taking our God for granted. He may be your father. All the party you are doing. All the beer parlor where you dey branch every time. You drink finish, take turn to put for your mouth, they can't talk to your wife. So that she doesn't know you have to take a cup. What's that shot? What did they take? Ogogoro. Amen. Your wife don't see you, but is there anything you can hide from God? Is there anything you can hide from God? Hey, let that guide you in whatever thing you call secret. It is secret to man, but it's not secret to God. And there are some of you that fear men more than you fear God. So you don't want man to see, but you don't care if God sees you. Oh, it's my weakness. Oh, it's my weakness. That is my weakness. That's my weakness. I can show you characters in the Bible. I have one, Moses. It was his weakness that stopped him from entering the promised land. And God is no respecter of persons. He used it to make that point clear to everybody. Whoever you are, is no respecter of person. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was handwriting on the wall. It was a sign.
Once you are saved, forever you are saved. Everything we receive from God is by faith.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Fruit of delusion. They told you it doesn't matter. It matters. There is yet another day that is his mercy is still available.
The trials of a Christian.
Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God. Because we are in this world, but not of this world.
John chapter 17, verse 17. What did the Lord say there in his prayer? Amen. Let's read it. John 17. It is underlined in my own Bible. Long, so many years ago. More than 15 years ago, I underlined it in my Bible. Everybody, John 17, verse 17, 1, 2, 3, go. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Read it again. Thy word is truth. That was Jesus' prayer for his disciples. That God should sanctify them, clean them up. Through thy truth. And what is the truth? Thy word is the truth. So we are sanctified through the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's read it. Let's read some of these things for emphasis. Now in 1 Peter chapter 1, there is a way. Listen to the language of revelation in his letter. This is the way Peter put it. Verse 2. He was calling them, he said, elect. That is those who are called. How many people are called here? See how he addresses you. You are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Correct? We believe that. Eh? It is not by accident. It is through foreknowledge. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And you are elected through what? Through sanctification of the Spirit. Unto what? Obedience of what? The word. And sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Then he greeted the elect. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Yes. Sanctification and belief of the truth. And the word of God. We are sanctified. That is how. And the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The two means by which we are sanctified, we are made holy. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read it. Ephesians chapter 1. It's a popular scripture. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1 is my favorite scripture. Deep things are brought out in the book of Ephesians. Very, very deep. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 3 and verse 4. When he said, verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, my emphasis. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that what? We should be holy and without blame before him in love. Without blame. That is the identity of our call. Praise the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. He said, but we are bound. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Why? Because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Through what? Through what? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, belief of the word. You can never be truly sanctified without you accepting the word of God. The word of God will never be meaningful to you until you apply it by accepting it. Praise the Lord. The word of God can never profit you until you allow it to take its full power in you. The truth is the word. Thy word is truth. The beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. From all we can see, William Branham preached a message that he titled, God's Word Calls for Total Separation. That's the title of that message. The beauty of holiness is that God's Word calls for total separation. The beauty of a Christian on earth here is seen in your separation from the world. I don't know how to drop this. God is always in the business of separation. In the beginning was the word. Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And verse 2, and the world was without form. Something happened that brought darkness upon the whole world. And the process of restoring back this earth, hallelujah, started, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. The deep. The first thing God did was He released His word. Amen. Hallelujah. Let there be light. Let the light be separated from darkness. Genesis chapter 1 verse 4. He separated the light from darkness. Until today, light and darkness cannot cohabit. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He separated good from evil. When He created Adam and Eve, He put two trees there. One is a tree that when you eat, you have life. The other one, when you eat, you are finished, you are dead. He separated them and told man, don't go this way, only go this way. Separation through His word. Separation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all these useless people all over the world that are saying that a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman. Amen. God, hallelujah, created man. But when He created man, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He had to create them male and female. Listen, church. Listen, church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The beauty of Christ is seen in His church. Am I correct? As long as Christ was on earth here, there was nothing beautiful in Him for us to behold. Until He went to the cross on Calvary. That's why He was rejected and despised. Until He went to the cross on Calvary. Where He was put to sleep. Because He didn't die, He slept. 3 days after He woke up. Any of us that die now, we are sleeping. Hey, are you not happy? Any of us now that die, we are not dead, we are asleep. Amen. And something, a Roman soldier pierced his side. Water and blood came out, signifying the new birth. And He is referred to as the last Adam. Adam was put to sleep. For His beauty, there is a beauty that is inside Adam. As long as He's with Him, it cannot be seen. Hallelujah. The beauty of Adam is his wife. She was inside of him. Adam was both male and female inside. God had to separate that beauty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen, I was just reading that place. When Adam woke up and saw his wife, he said, now this shall be called woman. Do you know why he called her woman? Amen. Imagine that Adam had been alone all this while in the garden. And then suddenly, something was molded and presented to him, another human being. The first thing when Adam woke up was, wow. Wow. It is from there, he said, this one will be called woman. Anytime you see a beautiful woman, don't you say, wow. Wow. That's how he became. He said, this one will be called woman. Not woe to man. Like, she was his beauty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. Young boys, how many times did you see wow to you? Look, before you marry your wife, see, Brother Udo. Hallelujah. The day he gave his testimony here, after his marriage, he was giving thanksgiving. He said he was doing something there, and then suddenly a woman, a young girl, passed by. He said something happened. He said, wow. 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 Who be this one again? Other women were passing. He didn't notice that, but when this one passed, wow. A young girl called me yesterday from somewhere outside Lagos. He says she has 3 men that are after her. She's asking me. She doesn't know how to select. And I quickly told her, and what I have always told you, I said, look, the feeling you have for the person you will marry is not duplicated or replicated to another person. When you see the person, there is a feeling you have. That type of feeling does not go through another person. Only that person. That is why what you see, other people cannot see. People will be saying, what did make you to marry this woman? Or what did make you to marry this woman? You are saying he is woman, but she is seeing the most handsome man. And that feeling is not a sexual feeling. It's a feeling that so keeps you attached to that your partner that when the person is not around, you feel incomplete. And when you don't have a feeling for any man like that, that is not your husband, that is not your wife. He made them male and female. He separated them. And a woman is supposed to act like a woman, not like a man. There is separation through the word of God. Praise God. That's why we keep telling you here. The Bible itself said it. Let a man dress like a man. Let a woman dress like a woman. In this part of the world, trousers belong to the man. Somebody watching me from Europe now, say, what are we in Europe? Including you in Europe. Including you in America. This revelation came through an American. God made sure he did not use an African to give the message. He used an American so that you will not have an excuse in America. And no believer of the ministry of William Branham and no church that stands for holiness, their sisters, ever wear trousers. It doesn't matter churches. It doesn't matter. What they are telling you is going to heaven doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You don't have to go to heaven. Enjoy yourself here. And people are saying, right, pastor, preacher, pastor, we don't want to go to heaven before self. Tell us how to live on earth here. Don't mind those people. Right, pastor. That's why the pastor himself is palming his head. So how can he tell you not to palm his head? Your head. Pastor. I love this pastor. And why he's teaching them how to remain bolted to the earth. Screwing them to the earth so that they will not be able to go at the last drop. They are busy sowing and sponsoring that ministry to continue. Oh, pastor, I love him. I love him. I love him. I love him. God's word called for total separation. Total is total. God wanted to display his grace and start the process of redemption one more time. He saw a man by the name of Abraham among the heathen. He went to Abraham and spoke to him. Come out of your people. Separate yourself from unto, and I will show you where you will be. It's a promise I have for you. I want to use you, Abraham. Why didn't he tell him to remain there? Why he uses him there? The first thing, if God is going to deal with you, is to separate you from every negativity. Separate you from unbelievers. Separate you from unbelief. Separate you. It includes sometimes even a change of physical address. And the Bible says, when God called Abraham, he called him alone. He called him alone. Salvation is a personal thing, an individual thing. That's why when you are going to church, don't go to church as if you are going to a social function. Don't come late to church because your husband was not ready in time. Don't come to church because your wife was not ready in time. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Amen. When it comes to the things of the spirit, don't wait until your husband fasts before you will fast. Don't wait until your husband says, come, let us pray, before you organize your own prayer and pray. It's a relationship with God is individual. First, before it becomes brotherhood. Brotherhood is automatic by the reason of your connection to the same source. You don't establish brotherhood so that together we can approach a source. No! If all of you approach a source together, the fellowship will become automatic. It's automatic. Very automatic. But Abraham had thus said the Lord, come out. He carried his cousin Lot to follow him. Follow. And we know what happened. They must separate. The word of God did not go to Lot. The word of God went to Abraham. It was Abraham and his family. He went and told. Now, see where the problem is. Number one, it was Abraham that had thus said the Lord. So, it is what he told Lot. So, the faith that Abraham will have will not be the same that Lot had. So, Lot was only doing follow. And as long as he is attached to Abraham, the promise was withheld. God didn't come to Abraham again. And so, when God was going to come back to release the promise of Abraham, repeat that promise and his vow to Abraham, the first thing he did was he caused a fight between the two families. There are some fights that it is caused by God. There's some condition you find yourself. Now God calls him. So that he's looking for your attention. He's looking for your attention. He cannot get your attention. He will cause problems in your office so that they will suspend you. So that during that suspension period, you can be coming to church. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. People don't bother to study and know him. And then he fought. The two families fought. So Abraham and Lot had to do a meeting. Oh yeah, choose any side you want to go, make we separate. God's word calls for total separation. And as soon as they separated, if you read it very well, God like he said, now Abraham. He started by saying, now Abraham, now that you have separated, listen to me. Praise the Lord. And he repeated the promise to Abraham. I don't know who is your Lot in your Christian race. I don't know who is your Lot. There must be separation. I said there must be separation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next thing he did was to make Abraham stand and distinguish himself from every other human being around where you'll be going. He gave him the commandment of circumcision. So, among all the men around, in whatever city he will be dwelling, in the land of Canaan, all of them, what distinguished Abraham from other men, and members of his family, from other men, the man, is circumcision. Every male Jew is circumcised through that commandment God gave them. It's an ordinance. But the Gentiles, at that time, they were not so. So also it is as Christians. Circumcision this time around is no more physical, it's now where? In the heart, the Bible says so. Excesses of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and whatever action you take is from the heart. Lies. You first say it in the heart before it comes out through your mouth. Fornication. You have first finished fornicating in your heart before you execute it physically. That's why he said, if you look upon a man, a woman, and lust after her in your heart, you have already committed adultery. So where are you supposed to watch? It's the heart. Nowhere else. So that when those thoughts are coming, you repel them immediately. Back to sender. I shall not defile this body. If you accept it, it will come and stay. And before you know what, it becomes irresistible. It becomes irresistible. It shall not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. But to remain different. You wouldn't even marry anybody from there. You marry anybody in the land of Canaan. Until when he wanted to pick a wife for his children, for his son, Isaac. He had to send him away from that abominable land. Because he was living among them. And they are nothing but a bunch of idol worshippers who have no time for the true God. Total separation. God will not deal with you until he has separated you. Anytime Israel was not in her promised land, God does not deal with them. Anytime he wants to deal with them, he will end their slavery and bring them to their land first before he comes back and deal with them. Every time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why Israel was in Egypt. 430 years. It was time for him to deal with them again. What did he do? Praise the Lord. He sent his servant to bring them out of darkness, out of slavery. Anyone that says you cannot stop committing sin, you are a slave to that sin. You are a slave to that condition that you cannot resist. God has sent his servant to go to Egypt to bring his children out of Egypt, a type of the world. And as soon as he come out, the process of setting them apart began. He gave them the law, his word. You cannot live anyhow as a Christian. We have our laws. We are in grace. But we have our laws in grace. There are boundaries that you cannot, limits you cannot go over. There are boundaries. Can't live anyhow life. Like you can't. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the duty of the seven star messengers to the seven church ages. They were his servants to pull out every age his bride from the pollution that was on at that time. When they come out, Satan will come and keep them in bondage. He will send another one servant to pull them out of that confusion until we reach the seven church age which we are in now. And he sent a message to this age to pull us out of the spirit of deceit that has mixed ungodliness, worldliness, unbelief with grace. Pull us out and set us apart. That's why I say the evidence that you are in the message, it will reflect in your character, not only in your revelation. Not only in your revelation, also in your character. Certainly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that you understand why God hates adultery. God hates adultery. Let's open James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. James chapter 4. I read two verses there, verse 4 and verse 5. This is the way he put it. Because in verse 3, see where he started rebuking them from verse 3. Let's read verse 3. He said, you ask, believers, all of you, that pray. He said, you ask and receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your desires, your lusts. Then he said, you are adulterers and adulteresses. Here, he's not talking about married men and women going about and defiling themselves. He is looking at you. The statement completely. Let's see the picture there. You are adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, that is the adultery. A friend of the world, that is adultery, is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelling in us lusted to envy? When a believer yokes himself with the worldly fashions, the God of creation looks at you in adultery. Adultery is adulteration. Mixing something to remove the natural appearance or the originality of a substance is called adultery. We are supposed to be cleansed and set apart. People who are supposed to be holy people, they are mixing them with sin and things that God hates, that He pulls you out from. You are importing them and joining them. You are an adulterer, you are an adulteress. The friendship of this world is enmity with God. The life we live must show, this is the way William Branham put it, his own way of conclusion is, look, for you to show that you are separated, you are different, he said, if the whole world is going right, since it is the whole world going that way, it means it is a worldly thing. You turn and go the opposite way. Whether you understand it or not, the fact that the whole world is going with it, it means that's something. When you see worldly people, unbelievers, calling somebody they call a gospel musician and giving him an award, it simply means that the world accepted his music. That is evidence that it was not a worldly, it was not a Christian music. The reward of a gospel singer is anytime he sings, people will give their lives to Christ. That's your reward. That's your reward. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a different thing if your nation, your country recognizes your contribution. Like they gave some people, I think they gave T.B. Joshua. The reason was, through him, we have a lot of, one, the image of Nigeria, at least something good is in Nigeria. Through him. So Nigeria has been battling to redeem her image. So they got somebody that at least was attracting people to come. While others are making people to run away, this one is making people to come. And when they come with dollars, with foreign exchange to spend here. So he has boosted tourism. Yes. Praise the Lord. He's entitled to national award. Nothing wrong with that one. But that musician, na lie. The evidence itself, you're a false witness. See the cloth where you wear, where you didn't sing. You sing in the church on Sunday. On Friday, you're singing for nightclub. Anywhere they ask you to go, political rally, you did there. As you sing, they hail Jesus. Now so you go, they sing, they hail one politician. With the same mouth. You are an adulterer. Adulteress, if you are ever a Christian, that is how God looks at you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that you'll understand 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm reading from verse 14. So that you'll understand that scripture very well. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We use it to tell the people concerning marriage, that is deeper than that too. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? I'm talking about adulterers and adulteresses. And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord had Christ with Belial? Mami Water, Queen of the Coast, Shrine. And all secret courts that are members that are given special seat in the church. And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, you as a believer, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, what did he say? Come out from among them and be ye separate. That is holy. Say the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is the way Peter says it. From verse 9. Reason why you must separate yourself. He said, but ye are a chosen generation. That is who you are. Elect. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen generation. God chose you. Hey, God chose me. Hey, so me, God chose me. Hey, the creator of the heavens and the earth chose me. He loves me. I cannot tell why. He chose me. The owner of the whole earth was looking for somebody to be his son. He came and adopted me. He chose me. Ah. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. The New Jerusalem, that is who we are known for. A peculiar people. Why did he choose you? That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past, we were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. We are you strangers. Strangers on earth here. This world is not our home. Pilgrims. We are here. And very soon we shall leave and go back home to where we belong. He said, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your daily living, your lifestyle, conversation, honest among the unbelievers, the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers because you refuse to join them, they may, by your good works, the type of life you live, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That is from Apostle Peter. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Always remember that man was created in the image of God. And the image of God is an image of holiness. Christ came to tell us what it means to be the image of God. That was spoken in Genesis 1:26. The Bible says that Christ, Colossians chapter 1 verse 15, is the image of the invisible God. And we, the Bible says, our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That he will be the firstborn among many brethren. If the firstborn is holy, if we are from the same source, we too, we must be holy. We must be holy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Because we are from the same source. He said, I come from God, I go back to God. And if you are born by the will of God, by the Spirit of God, then nothing short of holiness is expected. Why? The Bible says, he that is born of God does not commit sin. The reason is this, because his seed that produced you remained in you, and that seed is the word of God. The Bible says, Apostle Paul says, we are born again by the incorruptible seed of his word. It's the word of God that produced you. It is the word of God you had that made you to give your life to Christ. And if it is truly the word of God that changed you, that call your attention to God, that is the same word that checks you because it abides in you. You cannot see him. You cannot live a life of seeing. What God hates, you will hate it. What God loves, you will love it. That is the beauty of holiness. We are the light of the world. The Bible says so. We are the salt of the earth. The Bible says so. That is the beauty of holiness. And because you are the light of the world, and because you are the salt of the world, you become an attractive person, an admirable person. Everybody wants to take salt, and everybody wants light. Everybody, therefore, will come to you to find out the reason of your hope. Why are you not joining us to do the things we do? You become attractive. That is the beauty of holiness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And without holiness, no man shall see God. No man. No man. No man. No man. When you become a Christian, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of God. But the Bible says, upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance and what? And what? Holiness. 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 There will be deliverance, certainly. But also there must be holiness. Then the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The world is rounding up. God is rounding up his program. God has been beautifying his bride. The rapture will soon strike. Revelation 19, therefore, the picture was given to Apostle John. The angel spoke to him that, hallelujah, crying and saying that the marriage of the Lamb has come. When does it come? Well, the bride has made herself ready. What is the evidence that she's ready according to verse 7? He says, he, God, hallelujah, the bride, I mean to say, hallelujah, has made herself ready. Because she positioned herself for homegoing, she is given a particular identity. Our identity in the spirit is white raiment. Clean. White. Identification of holiness. No spots. No wrinkles. No contamination. Separated from all word of unbelief. From all denominational creeds and dogmas. Holding on to the word of the bridegroom and his word alone. And let me tell you, church, you are hearing me now. You have no excuse. There is a parable of the marriage feasts in Matthew chapter 22. We are that man that is supposed to have a wedding coming before going for the marriage feast. The governor finds him wearing a different dress from the garment. And he asks him, how come you have entered this feast without the wedding garment? The Bible says, and he was speechless. I said that person that was speechless is a member of Bride Assembly Church. Okay, what will you say that made you not to be ready? All you need to hear, we have told you. You see? He said they should bind them and cast him to outer darkness, that is to the tribulation period. Then he ended by saying, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance and holiness. Will Abraham say that when you talk about thunder, he said there is another thunder somewhere. He said the life of holiness is what thunders against Satan and satanic forces. Why? Because, hallelujah, the prince of this world cometh, Jesus Christ say, but he will find nothing in me. He's accuser of the brethren. Amen. Find nothing in me. Accuser of the brethren. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Correct water baptism. Correct baptism of the Holy Ghost. And a life of holiness. The word of our testimony. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Holiness gives you boldness to face the devil, to face any situation. Gives you boldness to continue with your trials. Like Job. Job will tell you, I'm not paying for the sins I committed. I know the life I live. I believe God is working a purpose for allowing me to go through that. Because holiness creates an edge of protection around you. When you break that edge, serpent will bite you. Satan can never get you when you live a life of holiness. There's a glory that you always see around a man that lives a holy life, a woman that lives a holy life. Catherine Coleman was known for a life of holiness. I read her testimony. Just around her, the glow that was around her was so much, Catherine Coleman, a woman, that when she goes to a hotel, while she's waiting to enter the lift, anywhere she goes, 50 meters away, sinners will be crying without her opening her mouth to say anything. Conviction, the spirit of conviction will come upon people without her opening her mouth to say anything. Life of holiness around. As a woman, in this age, a woman can live such a life of holiness until it radiates all around her. Sinners, not just saying anything, just looking at her, they'll begin to give their life to Christ. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Finally, listen, church. When we talk about holiness, we are talking about a life that you will live pleasing before God. And the only reason why you can live a life that is pleasing before God is if you love Him. If you love God, you cannot love somebody and do something to hurt that person. And what is it that will make a believer to love God? It is to look at the cross of Calvary. That's the only reason. Look at Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. Look at Him. Sit down and meditate on salvation. Sit down and look at the cross. See that man hanging there and suffering for you. Look at him there. Look at the screen. Look at him. When you look at him and you see that man did not commit anything, and you have a true revelation that what he is going through, what he went through on the cross of Calvary, was to save me from the destruction that is coming upon this world. I told you about the day of the Lord. What will happen here? And he made me to escape through what he did on the cross of Calvary. How can I live a life that will hurt him again? Love. Let's bow down our heads. Talk to him. If you ever understand anything I've spoken, talk to him concerning your life. Now, take a look at yourself. Have I lived a life of holiness? Have I lived a life pleasing before this God? On the hills, far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dear rest and bless for a world of lost sinners. For you and for me. So I cherish the old rugged cross, the beauty of holiness.
Till I draw this at last, I lay down.
Cherish it, cherish it.
I will cling to the Lord.
That's a wonderful attraction. That's an attraction for me, oh! When I consider that cross.
For the dear Lamb of God,
He left His glory above. To bear it on the cross of Calvary for me.
To die.
How can I live a life that will hurt Him again? I cherish that cross. If not for that cross, I don't know where will I be now. No hope outside that cross. No hope. Lord, answer you in the name of Jesus.